Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Strava Craft Coffee is rich CBD-infused coffee that you can purchase in K-cups for your Keurig, whole bean, or ground. Purchase online for 20% off using code DNVR20. Order online. It ships to you incredibly fast. You can try it at Carbon Cafe and Bar, Drip Denver, Slow High Coffee, Blue Sparrow Coffee, and Max Market. CBD is non-psychoactive, has been known to help long-term migraines, decreasing anxiety, arthritis, IBS, etc. CBD has done wonders for me, and since I've been drinking Strava Craft Coffee, I find myself much less jittery, and I promise you a schedule and lifestyle in where I drink a great deal of coffee. I was starting to feel the effects of it, but CBD has given me a ton more energy and focus with none of the shakes and all of the negative things that come from coffee. So remember to go online, purchase for 20% off using code DNVR20.
And this ball in the air, deep right center field.
Two-run home run, Trevor Story. Way back, Myers, he'll watch it go out. Chuck Nasty.
Two-run home run, David Dahl.
And Nolan drives this high in the air, deep left field. Take a good look, you won't see it for long.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast presented by The Green Solution. Visit any one of their 17 Colorado locations or go online to mygreensolution.com. Either way, use that promo code DNVR20. You'll get 20% off your entire purchase. I am your host, Drew Kreisman. And on this episode, we will be discussing mostly whatever all of you want to discuss. I've got a few thoughts on updates on conversations we've been having, of course, on this podcast for a while now, both on the Nolan Arenado v. Jeff Breidich thing, if you want to look at it that way, or some of this Rob Manfred actually apologizing. And I'll go ahead and begin there, because on the most recent podcast, that was the thing I was pretty passionate about, and I had some pretty strong words for the commissioner, and I do have to give credit where it is due. He came out and issued an apology, and, you know, we're, both he and Jeff Breidich are actually kind of in this same place today where it's like, I've heard better apologies. I have, you know, I feel like I could have crafted a better statement on behalf of both men. At the same time, you know, there's a moving target here from people who are upset. And you do, you know, have to be careful about saying, well, all I want is for Jeff Breidich to apologize. And then he apologizes and you say, well, that doesn't count, or he didn't apologize the way I want him to. Now, same thing with Rob Manfred, right? I drew a pretty clear line in the sand, and not that he was listening to my podcast or whatever, but I made it clear that for me, as a representative of however many baseball fans I can claim to represent, felt we were all owed an apology, and he gave us one. And I thought his was a little bit better than Jeff's. You know, he basically said, I shouldn't have said that. I still am perturbed by the instinct to undercut your championship in a defense of your own shortcomings in other areas. But He apologized. And so I would say the same thing about Jeff. And we can get into it more and more. I want to get to your questions here. But that's more or less what I would say about Jeff Breidich as well. Like, he could have done a little I know where a lot of people are coming from on this. I can be particularly sensitive to apologies that read, "I'm sorry you felt that way." At the same time, and the one phrase that I think got him in trouble here was he said something like, "I feel sorry for the fans' angst," and he also used the word "if." If you felt angst, then I'm sorry for that. And some people are choosing not to accept that apology on those terms. And if you're in that camp, I think that that's fair. I think that that's a reasonable position to hold. But I am of the camp that tries to interpret people's words how they mean them, not by whatever parameters I need them to meet. And so when Jeff says, "If you feel bad, if you felt angsty," I don't think he means angst the way some people hear that word. I think he more generally means anxiety or fear for your team. If you have felt stress, again, I'm telling you, I feel like I could have crafted a better statement for him to have delivered. But I do believe in being charitable to people who are trying to make amends. Again, if you're not ready to do that, if you're not willing to do that, I can totally understand why. I would ask, you know, what is there something that he could say at this point? I do think a lot of people are saying that, you know, this apology that he's finally come out and given isn't enough. You know, his promise that he's going to meet with Nolan Arenado and maybe smooth things over isn't enough. And I guess I would argue with these people, you know, what would be enough? And other than him getting fired, but he's not going to fire himself. What can he do? That's on Dick Monfort. At this point, that ire is directed at the guy who makes that decision, right? You wouldn't fire yourself from your job either. I won't pretend like I haven't done things, one or two things in this job where I went, "Oh man, I'm not sure I'd keep me after that screw up." You know, but I didn't walk out. I didn't walk away from this opportunity. And Jeff Breidich isn't going to walk away from his opportunity to GM. So a question comes in here from at Lunchbox. Is that a Kevin Smith reference? That'd be fun. Do you see Nolan sticking around long term at this point? Well, how long are we talking, Sir Lunchbox? Or Madam Lunchbox? I would have no way of knowing. I don't think he's going to get traded this year unless the Colorado Rockies are incredibly bad. And I know there are a lot of people who think that the Colorado Rockies are going to be incredibly bad. And, you know, we'll see. Time will tell the tale on that. I think there's a lot going their way. I'm still not close to giving my official preseason prediction on the number of games that this team can win. But, you know, I think there's still a, let me put it to you this way. I think this is a salvageable situation. I would put the possibility of Nolan Arenado staying through the 8 years, the completeness of his contract at around 30% right now. And before I would have said it was much higher than that. He's obviously very angry at the organization, but a lot can change in 2 years. At Hoochna is putting me on the spot here because I said, "Ask me anything." So it comes in with, "Which came first, chicken or the egg?" I'm going to go egg. give up the drivel and answer the hard questions. I went for it. I went egg. I went egg on that one. John says, "Why did Jeff Breidich not go after Jonathan Lucroy when he signed for a minor league deal?" My guess is that things have been a bit hectic in the front office lately. And quite frankly, and for people who are, and Laurel, I saw your comment on the last podcast, starting to get a little bit anxious, unsure about some of Nolan Arenado's comments. You know, this is one of the things I was talking about. If there had been a private blow up between Nolan and Jeff Breidich, that's one thing. But this going public, I mean, free agents aren't going to want to walk into that mess right now. So it may just, you know, he's in a pretty tough spot when it comes to trying to sign free agents whatsoever. At Blake Rapp wants to know thoughts on the new Nike uniforms. Not much change, but potential for a future uniform change. I hope so. You know, I'm not the biggest uniform guy. We got to get Patrick Lyons in on more of these conversations about the unis. I like the hat, the spring training hat with the Colorado flag colors on the CR, but other people have stronger opinions about these things than I do. What I will say to the second part of your question is I would like to see more variety in the Rockies uniforms and in general across baseball. I like seeing more variety. The specialty uniforms I can, you know, do less with, you know, the special day uniforms, but I do like the variety. DJ says, hey, Drew, AJ's rant on the DNVR podcast was amazing. I was scared he was going to pass out from not breathing during it. Man, he and I, if you haven't listened to it, if you haven't checked in on that podcast and you want to hear a very spirited yet respectful exchange between two people who, dare I say, love each other dearly, but could not disagree more on this kind of important and serious topic. AJ and I went at it for a minute, and it's worth the price of admission alone, especially when you consider that the price of admission for that podcast is $0. You just add it to your podcast feed, and now you're listening to the Denver Sports Pod every once in a while. But that was, I'll just say I'm not surprised some people found it entertaining. It is a Kevin Smith reference. Awesome. That's fantastic. That's really cool, Lunchbox. Now I'm going to start saying it the way Jay said it, and that's not very nice. Spencer, you got to give us your funny story. Oh, you met Mike Fiers at an A's game in September and asked him about his time with the Astros? Oh, no. Oh, wow. So Mile High Batman comes in and says, I think Breidich was playing games, trying to get feelers, and the whole thing backfired. And the more I hear about this situation, you know, it doesn't sound like it's just about the trade rumors or that it was any one thing. And that's part of why I'm starting to think more and more that this can be put back together. That, you know, for however publicly Jeff Breidich doesn't always say or do the exact right thing or come off the right way, I think he's much better with these guys in one-on-one conversations when the cameras aren't rolling. And one of the things that I thought he did well in this conversation, in this apology, if you want to call it that, was explaining his reason. I don't think he's done a good job of this, and I still think he could do better. But I've always kind of understood this. I think he needs to say it more, that his reason for not publicly commenting on these things is that he prefers to have these conversations in private, and that they have kind of set a long time ago an organization-wide philosophy that says we don't air our dirty laundry in public. And that's a part of the reason why he's frustrated with Nolan right now, but he's also recognized, I have no support here. I've got to put this thing back together. So I think there's a chance. We'll see. Your guy Steven says, with LaCroix off the market, do you still feel backup catcher is coming? Or is there still, I don't think they're making any more moves. I think the Elias Diaz is the Elias Diaz, is what I said, apparently. Let's start calling him that. Let's make that a thing. I think Elias Diaz as the inside shot at being your backup catcher, I think that could create for actually a pretty quality platoon between him and Tony Wolters, a lefty and a righty. Both contact guys, neither one slugs for much, but you could end up with a really feisty eight-hole hitter no matter what day you're starting. It's just Diaz has got to catch well enough. If he's just a disaster with the glove, You hope that Dom Nunez's power surge continues to be real. Dom's a guy who could win a spot with a fantastic spring training because he represents the highest upside offensively by far, and he might even represent the highest upside defensively, but he's going to have to prove that. Can I say this? Shardy Waffle says, which position player will take the biggest step forward in 2020? No wrong answers, but it's Rymac. That is correct. There are no wrong answers, but it's Ryan McMahon. And I said, I think right at the beginning of the offseason, I expect Rymac to be an all-star next year. And this is not based on any kind of recency bias or even kind of the numbers that he had in the second half. Like, those things help bolster my argument. But the first time I met this kid when he was 18 years old, my thought was, one day, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be a fan favorite. He's going to be a top five jersey sale type of guy, and he's going to be a leader on a good team. He's got all of the things that you cannot teach. 100% of the non-teachable baseball things that matter in baseball, Ryan McMahon does very, very well. It tends to come together for guys like that, for dudes who get it, who put in the work, who listen, who understand and are introspective, and then who also are 6'3" with above average speed, a quarterback's mind for sports, and can hit a ball 450 feet. You know, he's just got to catch up to a fastball up and in, and Ryan McMahon becomes a monster. In his first full season of starting games in Major League Baseball, I know the ball was juiced. We all know the ball was juiced, but still, he hit 25 home runs, or what was it, 24? He's a 30 home run guy who's going to give you well above average defense at either second, first, or third base. I think Ryan McMahon's going to be a star in this league. And if he does, it's going to take so much pressure off of the guys in that clubhouse who are not natural leaders, natural talkers, natural charisma guys. In fact, there aren't any of those guys in there. That's not Nolan or Trevor or Charlie or David Dahl. It's a little bit Kyle Freeland. So when he does well, that takes the pressure off of those guys. It's a little bit John Gray. So when he does well, it takes the pressure off of those guys. But Ryan McMahon emerging as a star position player, an everyday player, whose smile fan, I'm telling you, it goes a long way. It sounds ridiculous, but literally a guy whose smile you can see after wins, that's going to make fans feel good. And parents are going to tell their kids, play like him, act like him, approach the game the way he does. And they're going to buy him. This is the year Ryan McMahon becomes a star. At Makeda Zero, or Makeda O, says, do you think there was a big name signing trade we were just beat out on? You know, that's an interesting thing. There could have been some earlier in the season. I do think there were a couple of catchers. I'm blanking on names right now because I wasn't expecting this question, but I do think earlier in the offseason that happened once or twice, yes. But the more I dig into it, the more evidence we get on the outside, the more it looks like the Rockies just Dick Monfort didn't give Jeff Breidich any money to spend. Or Dick Monfort gave Jeff Breidich money to spend, but he spent it all 2 years ago, if you want to look at it that way. Lunchbox says, does Ubaldo make this team? Probably not. Almost certainly not. I would be very, very surprised. But it's not impossible. If he does, it'll be in the bullpen. My mother just letting us know that everybody at the sports bar there in Grand Junction is really pissed at the Astros for cheating. Right. Not just at that sports bar. Will says, I think someone showed Breidich at Rockies mentions. That's hilarious. Can you imagine if somebody actually showed him that? Will says, did you see what the Brewers GM said, that their team actually lost money last year? I didn't see that. No, that's a new one for me. So I'm gonna have to find that comment. It is, you know, so these guys can look at numbers in a lot of different ways, and technically we like, you know, like yeah. But the value of your franchise still continues to appreciate ridiculously. So it's not like they're in a tough spot. If they sold the Brewers, they'd have made like 1,000% or more than what they paid for it. So, but I could see that. And that's a good reminder for like how teams like the Rockies, like not having cash on hand is a real thing. Losing money is like, no, you didn't really, unless you look at it in a specific way. But running out of cash on hand, sure, that can absolutely happen. Mark says Shaw and McGee DFA or DFA waiting to happen or possible bounce back. One or the other, I think you know, they're both going to get a little bit of a shot here, but I think it's more likely that they actually do end up DFAing those guys. And oddly enough, that could end up buying back a little bit of, I don't know what we're looking, what the word is, a little bit of capital, for emotional capital, a little bit of trust from the fan base and or from Nolan Arenado. I'm not sure. I got to get the Periscope back up and running in case you're wondering why I'm doing like four things at once here on this live chat. But yeah, I think there's a shot, in particular Shaw, I think, you know, maybe still has some left, but I think it's more likely that both of them are DFA'd, and I think that that would actually be a pretty good thing for the organization, as much as it's, you know, in hindsight, going to be 100% frustrating to be like, well, just didn't, you know, ever get what they were hoping for out of those guys. Cut bait, give those spots to somebody else before the season starts, make sure that, you know, nothing vests, and then you move forward. Jake saying Rymack and McMahon going with the 30 home run season and gold glove in 2020, huh? You know, if he played first base, he probably could win a gold glove. At second, I think it's going to be considerably more difficult for him to do so, but not impossible, certainly not. But high hopes, we've got high hopes for McMahon, and I think that that's the right place to be. Derek says, dope hat. Thank you, Derek. You can get this hat, dnvrlocker.com. You can also get all kinds of cool stuff if you hit up Breckenridge Brewery and you find a super tasty beer to drink. I've been having the Hot Peak IPA a lot lately. If you're a beer drinker, this is a beer drinker's beer. If you're really into the IPAs, if you like that full hoppy taste, I cannot more highly recommend the Breckenridge Brew Hot Peak IPA. And I know a place where you can get it. It's at Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits, locally owned in Centennial and Highlands Ranch. These guys are awesome. They will deliver directly to your door. So download the app today. You get incredible deals. You get a loyalty program. You can get stuff delivered to you. If you're a person like me who enjoys a good tasting, you can go on Fridays from 3 to 6 or Saturdays from 1 to 4. If a big game is coming up, you got to buy in bulk. Hit up Davidson's. They will deliver all of that stuff to your door. Make sure to download that app today. So, Derek, and I need to get out to see you do your stand-up thing, my man. I've been seeing your stuff on Facebook, and I got to check it out. Writes in, so is the front office just basically saying, hey, all the money we spent is still in this roster, and we believe that they can't flop like that again? Do they believe in their hearts, and do you, that this roster has what it takes to make a run at the playoffs? That's what I hope. That thought makes me feel better, that they just don't care to improve our team because the attendance will be there, and that means money will be there regardless of our wins. I do. Let me answer the easier part of your question. Do I think that they think they are good enough to win? Yes. And I don't think that that's based on nonsense and poppycock. Sometimes when the owner comes out and says, well, we think we can win 94 games based on faith alone, I get why people kind of roll their eyes at that. But I think you put it pretty close to accurate here, that they believe last year was a total flop. They don't think that Kyle Freeland and Wade Davis are going to be absolutely terrible again. They don't think that at the most inopportune time possible, their best player, Nolan Arenado, is going to fall completely apart, which happened last year. They don't think that they're going to have, for the last month and a half of their season, 0% of their opening day starting rotation. They're probably counting on a bit of a difference maker in the baseball. They're probably counting on some of these things we've been talking about, like Ryan McMahon and Garrett Hampson and Raimel Tapia and Sam Hilliard being able to contribute more and Germán Márquez getting back to it. And I do hear some people say, well, they're just hoping that everything goes their way. But the problem is that neutral middle ground is not the thing that just happened. That is not the neutral middle ground. It is not fair to say that Kyle Freeland not being terrible counts as a huge break for the Colorado Rockies. Again, if you're judging based on the entire body of work, it's fair to say actually Freeland being terrible might be the outlier here. He was pretty darn good as a rookie. He was extraordinary as a sophomore, and then he's really bad year three. We'll see. But the middle, it's not accurate to say Freeland being okay counts as a break in favor of the Colorado Rockies. That's a middle ground. Same thing with Wade Davis. Saying Wade Davis won't be the worst reliever in baseball next year. It's not like, oh man, Rockies caught a break there. Wade Davis not being awful. That's a huge... I'm not saying they got to have 90% of their games started by the same five guys the way they did in 2018. That's catching a break. And sometimes you do get... like, good luck does happen too. Not to the Rockies very often, as you all know. It can happen. But counting on things like a group of 25-year-olds to naturally get a little bit better, it's not counting on faith or good luck. That's just how sports works. That's just constant across all professional athleticism. And, you know, similar thing when guys have track records, like Wade Davis, a little bit less of one, Kyle Freeland. Similarly with Márquez, who is below his career. So saying a guy will get back to his career numbers. Daniel Murphy is a perfect example. Is somebody you point out, you say, you know, the team really should, by all statistical measures, should get more from Daniel Murphy next season. Does that count as them getting a break, or does it count as they are just finally now, 1 year delayed, getting exactly the player they thought they were getting? You should not be shocked. Don't let people tell you nobody could have seen Daniel Murphy hitting 315 with 50 doubles next year and being an absolute monster in the middle of that lineup. Still think he's not going to be very good at first base. Drives me crazy. I hate watching the guy play defense, except for every once in a while when he does something awesome. But in my mind, and Zach, and I see you here saying it's so much to count on. And for me, a lot of those things aren't like, it's not really hope. It's a fairly reasonable expectation that some of these things are going to happen. And of course, there are going to be some setbacks in other area, but there's also going to be positive things that happen. And this is one of the things that people always forget. It's like, And Adam Ottavino is the perfect example. Between 2017 and 2018, you should never count on stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't help your team win games. And that doesn't mean there aren't plenty of candidates on the Colorado Rockies who could do that. Not just because sometimes stuff happens, but because of their age, their track record, the pitch mix that they throw, all kinds of very specific reasons. And so, you know, I get why people are uneasy about this team, and a lot of it gets thrown off by the drama. I'm saying if we put all the drama aside, on paper, I'm somewhere in the range of this team could win, is an 84 to 86 win team on paper. That's kind of the range I'm in right now. Like I said, I want to get a grip of the baseball. I want to get a look at some of the new guys. I want to talk to some people off the record about, you know, whether or not they're going to be philosophical changes. I'm very curious to see where the outfield is going to be positioned this year. They were too far back for most of last season, and that became a real issue. There are things like this that the Rockies can do to squeeze wins out of the year, and I just don't think it's as simple as the roster won 71 and they didn't get enough guys, so now it's just a hope and a prayer that they'll all do better. It's more or less the same group of players that won 91 games the year before, but a lot of things are going to be different, even if they don't feel different. So, I don't know. I mean, 84 wins probably has you pretty comfortably outside the second wild card spot. 86 may or may not have you in that position. If they get a little bit lucky and do slightly better than that, now you're talking about a pretty successful year. If they get unlucky and fall down to 81 or below 500 again, you're looking at real, real problems. And all of those things are probably, in my mind, about equally possible in terms of outcomes. I don't know. I really don't. I've never been more torn on the potential outcomes for a Colorado Rockies baseball team in my 6 or 7, whatever, years of doing this. It's a very difficult group to nail down. They come together in a very strange way. There's the recency bias and the 3-year bias and the full career, and it's just not easy. At Obama Spig, I'll just say, I don't know, says, agreed, the team can either be scary good or scary bad. Yeah. There is I'm telling you guys, this could be like the movie, the book that I promise you I will write the second the season ends if they do some crazy stuff and go on a run. Because from a talent perspective, there's some extraordinary baseball players on your team. I want you to know that. Like, I know it's a mess out there. And it's fair to look behind the dish or over at first base or out into the bullpen or at the last two spots in the rotation and just be looking at me like, Drew, what are you talking about? These are gigantic holes. I'm not sure they are, but if you think they are, I understand why. But at the core of it, whatever faith or hope or however much good luck you think it may take for those holes to get filled in, whatever it is, you know it's not an impossibility. You've watched baseball and listened to this podcast long enough to know it's not an impossibility, not in the game of baseball. You're not a fan of the Orioles or the Mariners. Okay? If a few guys whose names we don't even really know that well, some guys you're not counting on, the stuff you don't count on, some of them show up. I promise you, a team powered by Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackmon, David Dahl, Ryan McMahon, and Daniel Murphy. I threw them in there. You heard me say his name. And John Gray, Germán Márquez, I'm going to throw this name in there too, Kyle Freeland, and Scott Oberg, Wade Davis, Jairo Diaz, Carlos Estevez. Yes, that team. They probably can't win the division because the Dodgers are going to win like 105 games this year. Another year, maybe. Can they get to the dance and be the team nobody wants to play? Absolutely, they can be. But they have to all come together before they're ever allowed to all fall apart, because this team has every landmine around them possible to stop that from happening. Any little thing that goes wrong destroys the possibility of what I just laid out. A really bad week, probably not one really bad loss, but a terrible week, really ill-timed injury, something. I mean, it all gets thrown off in an instant. They are walking on incredibly thin ice, but I 100% see a scenario where this team suddenly, you know, and the narrative will be hilarious, and you'll be able to come back and say, well, no, the guy on the DNVR Rockies podcast, when everyone say nobody saw this coming from the Colorado Rockies, you can't say I saw it coming. I just see it as a, like, I envision this, and I've talked to our guy Konigsberg about it a little bit. Maybe I've just watched too many sports movies. You guys, it was movie week. I just watched the Mighty Ducks too many times as a kid. But there is something palpably powerful about a group of prideful men, or women for that matter, competitors. I'm going to use that word. Prideful competitors who are told they can't accomplish something. Nobody believes in them. The chip on the shoulder is real. Bulletin board material is a phrase that we all know for a reason. And you would think the millions of dollars and all of the other pressures and all of the other things would be enough to motivate play. But we've talked about this before. Over the course of 162, anything that can bring out that little extra bit of fire. I'm also firmly of the belief that the Rockies coasted through the first couple months last year in just kind of assumption they were going to get there, and that cost them. They didn't show up to spring training with the kind of urgency they did in years before that, when no one believed in them, when they were just kind of expecting to get back to the postseason. Now no one expects them to get back to the postseason. They've got two MVP candidates just in their infield. Two young players in David Dahl and Ryan McMahon, who I believe can play at that type of level. Of course, Charlie McBlackman, who's done it before. Give this team a little bit of momentum and watch yourself. But they cannot fall apart. They can't let the thing, whatever the landmines are. And now Nolan Arenado has to be the leader who navigates them through it. Every opportunity he has to throw anybody under the bus after a bad loss or a bad series of losses, he has to be the one who navigates the team through. As long as he's here, I'd pin a C on his chest like they do in Mighty Ducks. Even if, you know, whatever the other things are, because everyone's going to be looking at him after the bad losses, after the bad week, after the bad whatever. They're all going to be looking at him. And if he keeps his composure, and this team is given an opportunity to catch a rhythm and reach their full potential, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. So, I'm going to mention that you should all check out Green Mountain Dental Group, located in Lakewood, family-owned dentistry, about 15 minutes from downtown Denver. And if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you will receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. Super awesome partners. We love having them around. And if you got to go into the dentist. You might as well talk to him about sports. Sports are awesome and fun. And so they'll be there to ease the pain, as it were. Hopefully you don't have any pain going into the dentist. But, you know, we love our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. I love all of you for hanging out, asking questions throughout the Q&A today and allowing me to go on a couple of rants there. You've got me honing in here a little bit on my preseason prediction where I'm going to put them at in terms of wins. Like I said, I still really want to get down there and get my hands on the baseball. I will be there March 1st through the end of spring training, so we'll have all kinds of coverage for you there. Make sure you're subscribed to the DNVR.com so you don't miss out on any of that. And also on Saturday, I'm going to be at the Baseball Museum right down there on Blake Street, just like catty corner from Coors Field. Manny Rondon is going to be doing a book signing. We're going to be talking over Skype, I believe, with Ellis Burks, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So hopefully I'll see some of you there. You'll be able to listen to the podcast that we do later. We'll be putting out a feature on that, and it should be a pretty good time. Thank you all for listening in to this episode. Make sure you're following on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at DNVR underscore Rockies, and you're subscribing to all of the podcast stuff. So I mentioned the Denver podcast app, checking out the merch store, doing all that good stuff, hitting up our sponsors. It really does make a difference when you go and you know, give them some business and say the guys from DNVR sent us. It goes a really, really long way for everybody involved. It means a great deal to us. And so, especially when you're drinking Breckenridge Brew anyway, right? You might as well just send us a tweet. I will always reply to those because, well, we're all together when we're all drinking Breck Brew and watching sports. So thank you so much for listening and continuing to be absolutely awesome. I promise you, I will continue to be absolutely Drew Kreisman. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark. There is only one place you can get a true Colorado mountain pie. It's your favorite locally owned, legendary, unbelievably delicious pizza joint, Bojo's. Mention DNVR and get a free honey cheese bread with purchase of an entree. 6 Colorado locations all offer this deal for you. All of them have fantastic pizza, salad bars. They're going to have sports on. They've also got DoorDash. So if you can't get to one of those 6 locations, they will deliver delicious Bojo's to you. Their dough is made fresh daily and contains locally sourced honey. They infuse it with natural sweetener. It really is the best dough on the planet. And the cool thing about them, too, is they can work with any kind of dietary restrictions you may have. They've got gluten-free, cheeseless pizza, plant-based options. They will make sure that no matter what your situation is, you don't miss out on the deliciousness that is Bojo's. The salad bar is absolutely to die for. Even if pizza isn't your thing, they've got you covered. But if pizza is your thing, you are missing out if you're not spending at least 20% of your time at a Bojo's. Remember to mention DNVR. You'll get free honey cheese bread with purchase of an entree at all locations.